Austin, let's start with Governor Inslee's order. He signed it yesterday. What was his message?
Kirsten, this six-page emergency proclamation has a notable title, Children and Youth Mental Health Crisis. So the emergency that the governor is proclaiming is not that students aren't in school, it's that remote learning is taking a toll on their emotional well-being. His proclamation says the closure of schools has been stressful on kids and is resulting in gaps in learning and development that could last a lifetime. And he says that many youth are experiencing a significant mental and behavioral health crisis as a result of school closures. He notes that Seattle Children's Hospital's psychiatric unit is the most overcapacity and overstressed part of that hospital. And that's why he says he's ordering schools to offer at least 2 days per week of on-campus in-person instruction time by next month for all grades. And he insists it can be done safely.
Well, what kind of response is the governor getting to his order?
Well, we saw the Washington Education Association, the state's teachers union, pushing back on this, issuing a statement that says, you know, acknowledging that in-person school is ideal, but saying that some districts are not yet prepared to safely welcome students back to buildings, that local bargaining between the unions and the districts is necessary to ensure that conditions are such that it is safe to return. But, you know, we've also seen, even before the governor's proclamation, arguments on the other side. We saw school administrators asking for more flexibility around the 6-foot spacing rule in classrooms and instead saying it should be shrunk to 3 feet instead and saying that that is safe. What I think is notable here is that it is unusual to see a Democratic governor at such odds and with such tension with the state's teachers union. And in some ways, this starts to look like a dramatic showdown between the governor, who has been operating the state under emergency authority for more than a year, and one of the state's most powerful unions.
Well, we'll definitely be watching to see what happens and reporting on that. I also wanted to ask, Austin, Congress has passed and President Biden has signed the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. What does that mean for Washington State?
We know it means billions more in relief dollars for the state and for local governments, and that's an important point, too. As with previous packages, the money will go to support public schools, assist renters, assist struggling businesses, and of course, help with the pandemic response and relief that's ongoing. But state lawmakers in the governor's office are still learning and trying to glean exactly what the details are. And in fact, we were told yesterday that this is going to result in a delay in the release of the proposed budgets for the state for the next 2 years, because majority Democrat budget writers in the legislature need some additional time to figure out how this federal package fits into what they're trying to do over the next 2 years. So a lot of money coming to the state, game-changing perhaps, but also it's impacting budget writing.
Well, staying with the funding issue, the state's quarterly revenue forecast will be released tomorrow morning. What are you expecting to hear?
The forecast is expected to be positive despite the ongoing pandemic and recession. Really, what's happening here is that last June, lawmakers got a terrible forecast that projected a steep decline in expected state revenues. But since then, the state's revenue forecaster has progressively revised that forecast so that the original expected roughly $9 billion drop in revenues has been dramatically reduced or shrunk. We'll see if the March forecast essentially brings the state back up to where it was pre-pandemic or at least close to that. What will be interesting to see is how this plus the new federal stimulus affects the conversation around A, tapping into the state's rainy day fund, and B, the talk we're hearing from majority Democrats about raising some taxes this year.
Well, right. Speaking of taxes, there was a public hearing yesterday on the proposed capital gains tax, which has already passed the Senate. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is emerging as a top priority of Democrats this year, and the capital gains tax appears to be on a fast track. It passed the state Senate by one vote. Now it's gotten a quick hearing in the House, and the Speaker of the House, Lori Jenkins, has indicated that it will likely get a vote on the floor of the House sooner than later. It looks like about 3,000 people signed in to testify on the bill yesterday. That's a lot. The majority appear to be in favor. Progressive advocates and majority Democrats are saying this is about making Washington's tax system more fair and making wealthy Washingtonians shoulder more of the burden of the economic recovery. Meanwhile, opponents say it will hurt business innovation and competitiveness. Critics also say the capital gains tax is a form of an income tax. Right now, Kirsten, the suspense, I don't think, is whether it's going to pass the legislature this year and be signed by the governor. But what happens after that? Will it face a referendum? Will it be overturned in court?
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.